In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome in our program In the Light of Hadith. Today we will discuss two ahadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First hadith is about some essentials of Islam. Narrated is Sayyiduna Ubadah bin As-Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of this narration is An Ubadah min As-Samit radiyallahu anhu anin Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala man shahida an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَابْنُ عَمَتِهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ سيدنا عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone bears testimony that there is no God but Allah alone, who has no partner, and that Muhammad is his bondman and messenger, and that Isa is Allah's bondman and messenger, and son of his servant, his word that he cast into Maryam, and a spirit from him, and that paradise is true, and hell is true and real. Allah shall admit him to paradise in spite of the deeds he had performed. Hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh has reported this hadith in Kitab Ahadith al-Anbiya. The narrator of this hadith is Hadrat Ubadah bin As-Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was Ansari companion. He was Ansari Sahabi. And he attended Bayat-e-Uqba, the first Bayat of Uqba and the second Bayat of Uqba. And he pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the place of Hudaybiyah as well. And he's very famous Sahabi. He was the first judge in Palestine in the time of Hadrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he many times he sacrificed many of his relations on the relation of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith has mentioned five essentials of Islam. They are very important beliefs, the basic beliefs of Islam. First is oneness of Allah. Second is prophethood and messengership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third, some beliefs regarding Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Fourth is about paradise, and fifth is about hell. All these five are essentials of Islam. Means to believe in all these is essential and necessary for every mu'min, for every Muslim. The first essential is about the oneness of Allah. That Allah is alone, He is worthy of worship, none is worthy of worship except Allah, and He doesn't have any partner, He has no partner, He is alone. That's the first one. The second is, Anna Muhammadan Abduhu wa Rasuluh, and whoso and testifies that Muhammad is Allah's bondman and His messenger. What is it? In this belief, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first mentioned his abadiyat, that he is the bondman of Allah. Then he mentions he is messenger of Allah. Abadiyat is first and risalat is second. Why? because our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has accidences and miracles more than any other prophet. And Allah Azza wa Jal granted many miracles to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and the people of Bani Israel. They believed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as God. They believed in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to be God. So when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had miracles, and because of those, their people accepted him and believed in him as God. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had more miracles and more accidents, so there was chance for Muslim to believe in him as God. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions again and again his abadiyat, that he is the bondman of Allah. He's not Allah. He's not the part of Allah. He is the bondman of Allah, and he is the messenger of Allah. And as I have mentioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has excellences more than others. He has greatness more than others. He is superior to all the prophets of Allah. As we Muslim believe, and our scholars, our mufassirin, our muhaddithin, our pious predecessors have mentioned this thing with their beautiful words. As one Persian poet has said, حسن یوسف دم عیسیٰ ید بیسا داری آنچ خوباں ہما دارن تو تنہا داری. حسن یوسف, the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and the healing power of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the bright hand of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so you have. And آنچ خوباں ہما دارن تو تنہا داری, whatever excellences they have and whatever miracles they have, you have alone. You are the embodiment of the miracles. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has excellences more than others, and that's why our scholars, so they have given us a lot of beautiful pearls, so that we can protect our faith regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Imam Muslimi rahmatullahi alaihi has very beautifully said, da mad da'athun nasara fi nabiyhim wahkum bima shi'ta madhan fihi wahtaqini. He is saying, da mad da'athun nasara, leave what Christians say and claim about their prophet. Leave that, means believing in their prophet to be God. So leave that particular belief. Then whatever else, believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever you want. Wahkum bima shi'ta madhan fi wahtaqini. And then there is another poet, he has very beautifully mentioned these excellences of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La yumkinu thanau kama kana haqquhu ba'daz khuda buzurg tu'i kisa mukhtasar. It is impossible to mention the excellences, and it is impossible to praise the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he deserves. It is impossible to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he deserves. Ba'daz khuda buzurg tu'i kisa mukhtasar. After Allah, you are the more excellent. You are the greatest. That is the summary in nutshell. That is the reality in nutshell. So these are our beliefs regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has excellences more than other, so that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected our iman. And again and again, in many places, whenever he mentions his excellences, he mentioned that he is the bondman of Allah. He's not Allah. He's not the son of Allah. He's not the part of Allah. He is the bondman of Allah, so that we can protect our iman and we can safeguard our iman. Then the third belief is about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is not only one belief. These are many. As anna Isa abdullahi wa rasuluhu wa ibnu amatihi وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ. All these beliefs are regarding Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. What are these? Believing that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the bondman of Allah, and he is the messenger of Allah, and he is the son of the bondswoman of Allah. He is the son of bondwoman of Allah. Three words and three things have been mentioned in these. The first, Abdullah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the bondman of Allah, means he is not the son of Allah, and he is not Allah, he is not God, he is not one of three gods, he is the bondman of Allah. Then the second, and he is Rasuluhu, he is the messenger of Allah. So there were some people who cursed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, ma'adallah, ma'adallah, may Allah protect us from that. So some people, Ma'adullah, said about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is cursed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam told us the reality of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is the messenger of Allah. He has a very great status in the court of Allah. His rank is very high and elevated in the court of Allah. So he is Abdullah and he is Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. Then the third, وَابْنُ أَمَتِهِ, and he is the son of, born woman of Allah. Mean he is not the son of Allah. He is the son of, born woman of Allah. Then the fourth thing, that these words mention that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born without father. He was born without father, because Allah Azza wa Jal affiliated Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to his mother, not to his father, because he didn't have father. And Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us, Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim, call the people with the name of their fathers. It means when you affiliate them to their father and mother, so affiliate them to their father. And Allah Azza wa Jal himself is mentioning Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as the son of Maryam. Not only here, in many places. Masih, Isa bin Maryam, Isa bin Maryam, Masih bin Maryam. So in many places, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Quran that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Maryam. It means he didn't have father. That was the miracle, and that was an excellence which Allah Azza wa Jal has granted Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the fourth thing about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is Kalimatullah, which Allah Azza wa Jal has cast into Maryam. So the title of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and one attribute of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is Kalimatullah, the word of Allah. Why does he have this title and this attribute? Because he was created with the word kun on the tongue of Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. Because when Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam came to Hazrat Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam blew into the chest of Hazrat Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, so due to that Hazrat Maryam got pregnant. So because he was born with the word kun on the tongue of Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam with the permission of Allah, so that's why his name is Kalimatullah, because he was born with Kalima Kun, with the word of Kun. Then the other attribute of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned with the word Waruhum Minuh. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is a soul and spirit from Allah. Ruhum Minhu, a spirit and soul from Allah, a special soul from Allah, a special spirit from Allah. It doesn't mean that he is, the word is Ruhullah. The title and the attribute of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is Ruhullah. As we say about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam as Safiullah, about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam Najiullah, about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam Kalimullah, about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam Khalilullah, about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam Habibullah, the beloved to Allah, and the friend of Allah Khalilullah is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Kalimullah, the one to whom Allah Azza wa Jal has spoken. So these are the titles and these are the attributes for prophets. For Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the word is Ruhullah. Ruhullah means the soul of Allah, the spirit of Allah. But what does that mean? What is the meaning of spirit of Allah? So it means the special spirit which have been created by Allah. The special spirit from Allah. It doesn't mean the soul of Allah himself. It is like the word we use, Baytullah, the house of Allah. All the masajid are the houses of Allah. And particularly Khanae Kaaba, Baytullah. Baytullah is the particular title for Khanae Kaaba. But what is the meaning? Allah lives there. No, ma'adala. That's not the meaning. The meaning is that Allah Azza wa Jal has affiliated that particular Khanae Kaaba to him, to give him some kind of sharaf, to some kind of excellence. So that is nisbat of sharaf. That is called nisbat-e-tashrifi. That is called in Arabic nisbat-e-tashrifiya. So in the same way, Ruhullah means the special spirit from Allah Azza wa Jal. Why special spirit? Because he was born in a unique way. All the other human beings, they were born in a particular way, means from father and mother, except Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawwa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. But after that, the system which Allah Azza wa Jalla has created in this world. So the human beings are born through their parents, through their father and mother. But Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was born only from his mother without father. So because he was born in a unique way, that's why he has been given a special spirit and soul from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's why he is called Ruhullah. And some scholars have mentioned the other reason. They said, because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born with the blow of Hazrat Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam on the chest of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. So that's why he is called Ruhullah, because Ruhul Amin is the title of Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. As nazala bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika litakuna minal mundirin. So Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam has revealed this Quran on your heart. So Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam has been mentioned here with the title Ar-Ruhul Amin. Nazala bihi Ruhul Amin. And then Ruhul Qudus is also the name of Hazrat Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Tanassalul Malaikatu War-Ruh. So Ruh is here, is about Hazrat Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. So the word Ruh, Ruhul Amin, and Ruhul Qudus, all these words are for Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. And Jibra'il Amin alayhi salatu wasalam blew into the chest of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, and through that Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha got pregnant, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. So that's why his name is Ruhum Minhu Ruhullah. Ruhullah, the special spirit and special soul from Almighty Allah. So these are the titles of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned these particular things about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, wal jannatu wal naru haqqun. Jannat, paradise, is true, means that is real, that is in reality. That is not only metaphorical words, these are real. These are real things. And hell is also a real thing, that is not only metaphorical, that is a real thing. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannata ala ma kana min al-amal. Whosoever testifies these five things, the oneness of Allah, the messengership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, then about jannat and jahannam. So whosoever testifies all these beliefs, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannata ala ma kana min al-amal. Almighty Allah will admit that person into paradise, whatever deeds he has conducted. Whatever deeds that person conducted, Allah Azza wa Jalla will admit that person into paradise. Now, there is a question, if only these five beliefs are enough to enter into paradise, so then what is the need of doing other good deeds? And what is the need of abstaining from sins? When Allah Azza wa Jalla will make us enter into paradise only because of these beliefs, so then what is the need of doing good deeds, what is the need of abstaining from sins? So that is not a good conclusion from this hadith. Why? Because when we have to understand Quran and hadith and Islam, so then we have to read all a hadith and all ayat regarding that particular topic. When we read ayat and hadith regarding a topic, and when we collect all those, then we are able to conclude the particular result from that, and then we can reach to the particular conclusion, the right conclusion. Otherwise, we can be misguided. We may be misguided if we read only one hadith and we conclude just on the behalf of that hadith. So now, as when we read Quran and hadith, so in other ayat, in another hadith, we find that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us regarding many things, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden us from many wrong things, from sins. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has warned us, if we commit sins, Allah Azza wa Jalla has warned us the recompense of those sins. As for example, regarding killing a person, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَسَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, and whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, to abide therein for a long time, for a long period. And the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a great punishment is prepared for him. Now the person who kills a believer intentionally, muta'ammidan, intentionally. Now what is the recompense? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. His recompense is hell. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. He will abide in that for a long period. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَّعَنَهُ. And wrath of Allah and the curse of Allah is upon him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah hath prepared for him severe punishment, great punishment. So, we can see the recompense, the punishment of committing one sin, killing of a believer. Then another ayah, Allah subhanahu mentioned, Surah Maryam, ayah number 59. Allah subhanahu mentioned, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّةَ. Then there has succeeded them a posterity who have given up as-salah, the prayers, and have followed lust, so they will be thrown in hell. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّةَ. So they will be thrown in hell. Those people who give up prayer, who give up prayers and follow their lust. So because of that, in punishment of that, they will be thrown into hell. Now these two ayat are openly mentioning the punishment of those people who commit these sins. Now if there is no need of abstaining from sins, so then what is the meaning of these ayat? It means the meaning of that hadith, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannata ala ma kana min al-amal. Almighty Allah will make him enter paradise whatever deed he conducts. It means end of the day the person will enter into paradise, but before that, after his accountability on the day of judgment, now whatever Allah will give decision regarding that person, so that would be followed. So he might face his punishment, or he might be forgiven with the mercy of Allah, with the intercession of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So both things could be possible. Either of these two could be possible. He might be punished first, then he is admitted into paradise, and he might be forgiven, and then he is admitted into paradise. So it means whosoever commits sins, there are chances that he would be punished first, then he would be entered into paradise. So the meaning of this hadith is that when someone believes in these essentials of Islam, he proves that he is believer, he is faithful, he is mu'min, he is Muslim. And whosoever is Muslim, he will enter paradise, whether before entering paradise he is punished or he is forgiven. But at the end, he will enter paradise. Not like the infidels, not like the non-believers. They will enter into hell forever. And they will never be taken out from that. They will be never taken out from that. But if a believer who believes in all these things, all the essentials of Islam, if he is thrown into hell, but at the end, he will be taken out from that and he will be admitted into paradise. So that is the meaning. Now, there are some points in this hadith which are very important. The first thing, this hadith is about the importance and significance of beliefs. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned only beliefs in this hadith. Five basic beliefs of Islam: oneness of Allah, messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, then about paradise and hell. Five essentials of Islam have been mentioned in this hadith. So this hadith shows the importance of beliefs. Beliefs are very, very important. Really, in these days particularly, we must be very careful about beliefs. Because now, in our surroundings around us, so the people are misguiding, and they are making other people deviant, and they try to make them astray. Whatever come in their mind, so they openly say, and they misguide other people. And that's a very common sentence nowadays. Your actions should be good. Your manners should be good. Whatever belief you have. Means belief is nothing in their eyes, in their mind, in their mentality. Beliefs are nothing. Actions should be good. The person should be polite, kind. These are good things. Everyone should be polite, kind, affectionate to other. He should fulfill the rights of other. All these things are the commandments of Islam. But beliefs are prior to them. Beliefs are more important than them. More important than them. That's why when we read the Holy Quran, so we recite the Holy Quran, there are many ayat in which Allah has put emphasis upon beliefs. And Allah has mentioned beliefs and faith as a condition for the acceptance of good deeds. As Allah mentioned in one place, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَالَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُ مَشْهُورًا. What Allah has said? وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ, and whoever desires the hereafter, whoever desires the hereafter, who intends the hereafter, and strives for it hard, وَسَعَالَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and he makes efforts for that as well. But there is a condition. What he said? وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he is faithful, he is believer. That's the condition. Then, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْهُورًا, then such are the ones whose striving shall be appreciated, thanked and rewarded by Allah. But whose actions are appreciated and thanked and rewarded? The person who is huwa mu'minun, who is believer. So وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَا, he intends hereafter, then he makes effort for that, he works hard for that as well. But Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned one condition here, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, he must be a believer. Then his actions, his strivings would be appreciated, would be thanked, would be rewarded. But if he is not believer, so then he would be rewarded in this world, not in hereafter. All of his good deeds would go into vain in hereafter. In this world, he would be rewarded. Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant him some worldly benefits in this world. But in hereafter, he would be deprived of the reward in hereafter. Then there is another ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, and that is not only one ayah. There are many ayah in the Holy Quran. As when we recite about good deeds, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, so do you know, in most of the places, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions iman first. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned iman first. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about good deeds. As إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. In how many places? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned iman first. Then وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, good deeds later. Then as in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By the token of time, by that time, verily, man is in loss. Man is in loss. Human beings are in loss. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ, good deeds are after. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. All the things are after belief. Belief is first. If belief is not correct, that is corrupt, that is wrong, so then the good deeds are in void in the court of Allah. So that's why it is very important to correct our beliefs first. It is very important to keep our beliefs right according to Quran, Hadith, Sahaba-i-Kiram and the pious predecessors. It is very important to keep beliefs according to, in accordance with the beliefs of pious predecessors. Otherwise, Shaitan might misguide us when we are offering prayer, when we are doing some good deeds, apparent good deeds, and in our mind we are right, we are faithful and we are very good and we are a righteous people, we are pious. But Shaitan is misguiding us when he is keeping away from the importance of belief, from the importance of faith. So that's why iman is the first condition for acceptance, for the acceptance of good deeds. Then the other matter which has been mentioned in this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned many beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Many beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. What? There might be any need, and because of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the excellences of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the method of Quran and Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah Azza wa Jal granted prophethood to many prophets. But the people, they blamed about prophets many wrong things, as about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The people claim Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah, ma'adallah, or he is one of three gods. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Quran over our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam to correct the beliefs of people, to tell them the right beliefs. What is right belief about prophets? As in Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the people of Bani Israel. So they, ma'adallah, they blamed on Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam as a witchcraft. He used to be witchcraft. But Allah Azza wa Jal removed and erased that objection and blame of the people of Bani Israel from Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And in Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal openly told us, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam didn't commit and disbelief. He was free from that. He was the Prophet of Allah. He was the Prophet of Allah, and he had a big excellence in the court of Allah. He has a big status in the court of Allah. So similarly, regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, so because about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there were many wrong beliefs. So Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned many beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Holy Quran. All these words, he is the bondman of Allah, he is the Rasul of Allah, he is the Messenger of Allah, he is the son of the bondwoman of Allah, and he is Kalimatullah, he is Ruhullah. All these beliefs have been mentioned in Quran. And from Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned these beliefs to us. Why? To correct our belief, to keep our beliefs right, because that is very important. So there might be any need at that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning these beliefs. And the other point is very important here, that mentioning beliefs is very important. That is another way not to mention beliefs of Islam in front of believers and the non-believers. Because if none mentions beliefs of Islam in front of people, so how can people correct their beliefs? How can they learn the beliefs of Islam? So that was the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to mention beliefs regarding Allah, regarding prophets, regarding paradise, regarding hell, regarding taqdeer, fate, regarding other beliefs of Islam. That the purpose of the advent of prophet is to correct the beliefs of people. To correct the beliefs of people. So that's why mentioning beliefs is very important. Then another very beautiful point, which is which could be learned from here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned first the oneness of Allah. What is the word of hadith? What are the words of hadith? The words of hadith is that whosoever bear testimony that none is worthy of worship except Allah. None is worthy of worship except Allah. Who is alone, who has no partner. That is Tawheed. That is called Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. After that, the beliefs regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasallam. But in which way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned? In which way did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention these beliefs? The oneness of Allah, Tawheed of Allah is being mentioned, but along with that, the excellences of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the excellences of Isa alayhi salatu wasallam are being mentioned as well. Tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah, doesn't mean to negate the excellences of prophets, as some people do. The best way and the proper way and the appropriate way and the desirable way and the accepted way in the court of Allah for mentioning the oneness of Allah is to mention the beliefs regarding prophets as well. To mention the excellences of prophet as well, as here. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning regarding him Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. And then about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasallam, he is mentioning Abduhu wa Rasuluhu wabnu amatihi wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam wa ruhun minhu. Five excellences of Isa alayhi salatu wasallam have been mentioned here. So it means the way of mentioning the oneness of Allah is the best way of mentioning the oneness of Allah is to mention the excellences of prophets as well. Because Allah Azza wa Jal gives us His marifat, His recognition through His prophets. He gives us His recognition, He tells us about His attributes regarding prophets and through prophets. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in one place, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُذِهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Surah Al-Fath, verse number 28. What Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning here? It is who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it superior over all religions. Now look, هُوَ الَّذِي, that is about Allah Azza wa Jal. Who is Allah? For example, if we raise a question, who is Allah? So Allah Azza wa Jal is answering, هو الذي أرسل رسوله. Allah is one who has sent his prophet with guidance and true religion. So when Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us about his being and about his attributes through the attributes and excellences of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so what does that mean? It means the best way of mentioning the Tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah, is mentioning the blessings of Allah over his prophets as well. So that's the way which could be learned from this hadith as well, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first mentioned the oneness of Allah and then the excellences of prophets. So these are the points which could be easily learned from this hadith. Now the next hadith is narrated by Hazrat Amr bin al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of that hadith is, an Amr ibn al-As qala ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa qultu ubsut yaminaka fali ubayyaka fa basata yaminahu qala fa qabadtu yadi fa qala ma laka ya Amr قلت أردت أن أشترط قال تشترط ماذا قلت أن يغفر لي قال أما علمت أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله سيدنا عمر بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated that he met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم requested stretch out your right hand, Ya Rasulullah, that I may pledge allegiance to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched out his right hand, but Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu withdrew his hand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is it, O Amr? Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu answered, Ya Rasulullah, I wish to place a condition. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, what condition? He said that I may be forgiven. Allah's messenger said, do you not know, O Amr, that Islam obliterates whatever was done before it, and hijrah, emigration, effaces whatever preceded it, and hajj blots out every wrong done prior to it. Hadith has been reported in Muslim Sharif Kitabul Iman. Bab is Qawnul Islam Yahdimu Ma Kana Qablahu. In this hadith, the hadith is narrated by Hadrat Amr bin al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is very famous Sahabi and he is the conqueror of Egypt. He was the companion who conquered Egypt. Means he is the leader and he is the chief of that Islamic army who conquered Egypt. And he was given a long life at the age of 90 years. He passed away. So in this hadith, many matters, and particularly regarding bay'ah, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the excellences of believing, accepting belief, accepting faith, and the excellences of emigration and the excellences of hajj. So, but hadith needs a long discussion. So, inshallah, we will discuss this hadith in our next episode. May Allah grant us tawfiq to act upon the commandment of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah give us the excellences and the benefits of our belief. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In the light of hadith, in the light of hadith. In the light of hadith, in the